We'll begin the meeting. I'd like to welcome Ted first, our new member to Public Works Committee, and then entertain a motion to modify or adopt the agenda.
I will make such motion.
Second.
Thank you.
We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Approval of minutes from July 10th.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Public appearances. Typically, public appearances are things not on the agenda, and I take it you both are here for items 5 and 6?
4 and 5.
Yes.
Or 4 and 5?
Maybe number 5.
Okay. Because we'll open it up at that time, or if you want to do public appearances first, either way is up to you.
Whatever works best for you.
Okay.
You and I don't know who else is here.
I guess I'm number 4, so.
You're number 4, okay. Public appearances.
Jim Marrick, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. For over a year, I've been challenging the budget process of this committee with regards to what happened on the elimination of the 2300 block of Oakwood Avenue. And it was only after I objected to it that that got put back on to the Public Works Reconstruction schedule. But the block in front of my house was completely removed from the Public Works construction schedule. It was only after I appeared before this committee that it got put on. And then Mr. Rafter mentioned at one of the public meetings that he was concerned about that was inappropriate. So
no,
okay, so that was my concern. So
if you're gonna cover topics we've already covered, then we're going to cease this.
Okay, so I need to go on.
Is there a new topic?
So this is the topic that I have that I'm entitled to bring to the committee here, is that the West St. Joseph Street TID project in the budget and bonding process was scheduled to be just a straight resurfacing, not a complete road reconstruction. And later in today's meeting, it'll be explained that the sidewalk, which has now been blamed for the reconstruction, will not be completed. So I'm concerned on why West St. Joseph Street was put in as a complete reconstruction, and it's my belief that it was because of the need from the TID project, and that portion should be allocated to the TID district. So it's very straightforward. The budget and bonding process didn't seem to work in this, and the planning didn't seem to work with it. It all predates Sean from arriving, and since Sean came up, everything's been very transparent and good. Prior to that, the bonding and budget process was not good. So I have concerns, and I'd like to maybe have somebody talk with me about that. I had a meeting with Brad simply to get documents, and he set it up with Sean and Julie to be there. And it was simply to meet with Brad to get documents. It wasn't supposed to be a hearing of any kind. Thank you.
We will address your sidewalk issue as we get down on items. Any other public appearances?
I suppose so. I don't know. Are they supposed to be later? Are they supposed to be now?
It will open up for the agenda items, but if you have to leave imminently, we can open up now.
I'm supposed to be teaching a martial arts class in a little while, so
okay.
I would prefer to go to that if I could.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
I'm guessing there aren't any other public appearances tonight.
Right. So we can move right into 4.
And you're for the other item?
Yes.
Yes, I'm for business, I guess.
Okay. So you're number 4?
He's number 5.
You're number 5.
Yeah, I'm number 4.
Would you like to go before me because you're number 4?
Well, if we're on a time crunch, can we switch those two?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's okay with you.
Is it okay with the committee if we modify the agenda and flip 4 and 5?
Okay.
So move.
Okay.
So I do have some pictures, and I brought a Chromebook, but if you'd like, you can show them here. if you'd like to put them up.
I'll do my best.
And if it doesn't work, Chromebook's pretty. So there's going to be a file in there that says Gwen Kenny Street, I think.
If you would get his name and address.
That's it. Yep, there we go.
And we just, like, name an address for the records?
Yeah, my name's Troy Folson, and the address is 141 Gwen Street. So, if you guys recall, back in June and early July, there was lots of rain, like, quick downpours, quick, you know, thunderstorms, a lot of wind, and not quite a few branches out of trees, and we had some dead stuff laying around our house. So, I put it out, like, I think somewhere in this area here, if I remember correctly. And I came home one evening and saw that there was a plastic thing stuck in the ground and a card like this that said, in the street. And it says, please remove the item within 48 hours. So my wife, I was getting ready to go teach a class, and I said to my wife, we got to get those off the street because we're going to get fined if we don't. And she said, okay, I'll get that while you're gone. So she took, it was, you know, branches that you could get with your arms, right? So she picked it up off the street because I had them half on the street and half on the curb. So she pulled them up off the street for a little bit of distance, you know, a couple of feet off the street, back up onto our curb. And we thought everything was good. And because, you know, we've been living here about 20 years, and frequently whenever there are storms, there's extra pickup, right? They'll say, oh, there's branches around. And I saw other neighbors had branches and things out, so I said, well, you know, it's common for Alloway to come around and pick up extra branches after a storm. So I didn't think anything of it. And then the next day, I saw some people come by in a small pickup truck and pick them up, and I said, oh, good, they're picking up storm branches. No big deal. And then we got this letter in the mail on the 8th that said it was being billed for extra pickup. And I thought, why am I being billed for this when they were just picking up the regular storm branches? I didn't think we'd done anything wrong. And in particular, because it said in the street. In my opinion, in my viewpoint, it was the fact that we had them in the street and we should have known better than do that, right? That we should have at least had them on our property and not down in the street. Or else we would have picked them up, because I'm not a person who likes to pay fines. I'm pretty much a tightwad. I don't like to spend extra money wherever I don't have to, right? I'm very close with, you know, my money. I don't waste it on purpose. I mean, I use coupons. I'm that kind of guy. I don't know. So, I started looking at the pickup, and I said, oh, well, our normal book waste was this week, right? And on the 10th, I went around and saw that some neighbors had stuff out on the street. So I took pictures, and if you want to click through, you can see the pictures of all the neighbors that put their stuff out on the 10th and the 11th, expecting there to be, I guess, an extra pickup for the storm that day. But in reality, all this stuff stayed out from the 10th to the 23rd. Our normal brush pickup week, I think, is this week.
It was July 8th.
Right?
The week of July 8th. Brush week was July 8th.
Oh, okay. Well, according to the thing we get in the mail every year, I think it was this week.
I've got the calendar right here.
Okay.
It was the week of
July 8th. I think we do too, though. So that stuff sat out, right? And it wasn't picked up, and it wasn't picked up, and it wasn't picked up, and finally it got picked up on the 23rd. So that brush stayed out there for a long time. And I thought, well, you know, we had less than that, I think, or about that much. And, you know, it didn't get picked up, and I wasn't blaming anybody. I just thought, well, you know, it's super busy because we had a big storm, and branches came down on Webster that you had to curve around, you know. I mean, there was a lot of brush that whole month. So my point here is that I didn't purposefully leave stuff on the curb to be, you know, picked up by someone as an extra pickup. And it stayed out for a long time. And if you'd like to, you know, look at these are all the houses that had brush out for about 10 days, 11 days. And this is just Gwen and Kenny between Clay and Ivan. So I didn't think anything, I didn't care. I don't care that, you know, some people had some extra brush out. It just seemed, you know, unfair that I didn't do something wrong on purpose. And these people didn't either.
But Brush stayed out a lot this month because there were a lot of storms. I really don't feel, you know, that I should have to pay a fine for doing something that I didn't think was wrong in the first place. So, you know, that's basically my point. And, you know, I don't know what discussion needs to be taken from here, but...
Unfortunately, Mike isn't here to... To explain the letter that he provided.
I saw the one that you gave me.
The letter that he provided me to summarize what had taken place.
Yep.
He had indicated in his letter that the brush was placed June 26th, and it was placed in the street. You were provided at that time. You were provided, as you had indicated.
Oh, yeah.
The card.
Oh, I sure did.
And the card reads, it would have circled brush. And it reads, please remove the items within 48 hours, mm-hmm. or they will be picked up and you will be charged a minimum of $200.
Totally understand that.
And you, so and unfortunately, you didn't remove it. You just moved it onto the boulevard. So there are a couple issues with what took place. One, you put the brush in the street and you put it out during a week that we weren't picking up brush.
Okay.
And I can't. I'll do my best to explain why that, you know, during the actual brush pickup week, July 8th, why others may have, their brush piles may not have been picked up is because they may have been non-compliant too, and they were probably provided a warning, just like yours. And it does take time to come back after the fact to collect and haul away the non-compliant piles.
But if this truly was brush week, then they probably were in compliance if they stuck all that stuff out.
Well, you had indicated that there were brush piles that had remained after that week, and you were wondering why, and that may have been it. They may have been placed in the street. They may have been provided a tag no different than yours, and we were just... We had finally gotten caught up. We were out picking up the piles that were not compliant.
I'm not blaming anybody, but if they put them out this week, they would have been in compliance because this was our garbage pickup day, and garbage did get picked up that day. But there was no brush pickup during this time or this week. This is the first time. And Sarah said that she went out and talked to some college kids that were doing some extra pickup on this day. And then I saw a front loader and a truck, a big truck, like dump truck, coming around the this day, right? So I didn't see them picking up much stuff because people didn't have much out then, but they were going up and down the streets on this day too,
and
just
that,
a week later than this.
Debbie,
so.
what week did we go and pick up storm damage? Was that the week that we went out? Off the top of your head, do you remember?
I don't.
And that could have been, we had a storm at the end of July.
Yeah.
And we did put out a notice and had informed everybody in the village that we were going to go out and pick up storm damage.
Well, the 19th was the big windstorm.
That night that it came down.
Yeah, Saturday.
Like big branches all over the place.
19th, so.
Right. So there was some follow-up during this week because of that, correct?
I should say Saturday the 20th was a storm.
Yeah, I thought it was the day before Packers' first preseason game.
Was it the 19th? Reunion on the 20th.
It might have been, because I drove home that night, and I remember 19th. Dodging branches.
Okay. Okay.
Second round wasn't nearly as bad.
But the 20th, there was a big storm, too, because I was caught indoors at our martial arts studio for a long time, like right around noon that day, like 11 right. o'clock. So that was another big, big storm. That was one of the biggest.
There are multiple reasons why we, during a brush week, that we wouldn't pick up somebody's brush. If it's placed in the street, we won't pick it up.
Okay.
If it is commingled with yard waste, we won't pick it up.
Yeah.
If it's turned perpendicular to the
it.
Roadway,
yeah.
We won't.
Because it's hard to grab it. With
it's
the
hard
front
to grab
loader.
With the front end
I
loader.
Get it.
We, you know, our code clearly indicates that we want the brush placed parallel to the curb.
Sure.
And ideally, we'd like it in 8-foot lengths,
yep.
not to exceed a 6-foot depth. So, and we're doing all of these things to pick up brush more efficiently. And we've found over the last couple of years that for whatever reason, there's been a lot of brush. We've been picking up a lot of brush, and we do it on a frequent basis. We
sure.
do it most months. We do it. Yep. I think this year we're doing it 10 to 10 different months. And we try to get the brush done within that week.
Yep.
We do our best. And if we don't, then it spills into the following week, and it puts us behind on another activity.
Sure.
Bulk or patching potholes. So
I get that.
We're asking people to comply with,
sure,
with their code and with their policies.
I understand that. Would you mind clicking through this?
Sure.
Real quick? Okay. This is just Gwynn Street and just Kent. So.
And again, we wouldn't pick that up because it's in the street.
Okay. And ours wasn't like this. Ours was kind of hanging over. It was like, mostly on the curb with some kind of overhanging into the.
No, here's that's yard waste.
Okay.
That's plant material. We don't pick that up during brush.
I'm not saying this is all mine, in case you're not asking, right?
No, in that case.
There at you've got a hodgepodge of things. You've got garbage out there. We don't pick up garbage during brush.
You've
got brush in the roadway.
Yeah.
And again, we ask that the residents do their best to place it parallel and in lengths no greater than 8 feet.
Sure.
So they would have written down that address and they would have kept moving on. It's tough for us to pick something up like that. If it was parallel, maybe that is. I can't tell, but it looks like it's
a
Some are.
And that is borderline. We probably would pick that up.
Are you asking for it to be 8? Like, you don't want smaller?
No,
than
more than 8.
No more than 8. No more.
Because that's how wide the bucket is on the front load.
Then if it gets wider than that, then it doesn't fit well into the truck.
The truck, yeah. Yep. I get that.
Like that right there.
That'd be tough.
Yep. That's in the street. And I think they could have done a better job of putting that parallel with the roadway, outside of the roadway.
That's pretty close, though, right?
And that, got picked up. Did that get picked up during the week?
All these pictures were out on this day. On garbage pickup day, I went around and took these pictures just to see what people were doing. And that stuff all stayed out until the 23rd. That's when all of this eventually got picked up. Like all these pictures.
I
drove around at night and checked.
And then so far, I think maybe we've seen one or two piles that are compliant with the code and our policy.
I'll show you one similar to mine and ours when we get to it.
Again, that's in the street.
Ours was similar to that. Ours were more dry. It knocked a lot of dry limbs out of the tree.
Well, and this... what I'm seeing here is that this was taken then the following week when we were out picking up bulk, July 15th. So you took this picture the week of the 15th, and
these were all on the 11th. Every single one of these was on the 11th.
They probably put some bulk out early.
And they shouldn't have. Yeah. Okay.
But I think the neighbors were just as confused as I was. But these are all the 11th. This is all Kenny.
That's all.
These are Quick Kenny. The other ones were Gwynn. Yep. And eventually you're going to get to my house.
and another thing that we ask the resident to do is to keep it away from 4 feet away from a mailbox, utility pole, garbage can.
Yeah, I get that.
All right.
We're getting there.
That's yard waste.
That's clay. Hang on, here we go. Ours was a little bigger than that, and they were mostly dry. And if you could back up one. So, this is our house. This is where we had the stuff, right? Right about here. And if she had known that we were supposed to take it completely off the curb, we could have put it under behind this tree where this little pile is right here. But my point is, my wife and I both looked at this card and said, it can't be in the street. We get that. We know we're breaking a rule by doing that. So we moved it off the curb. I mean, off the street. And it was like right here between the curb and this tree. This is where it was laying.
I see on the card that you're holding, is that circled by you, or was that circled?
No, what happened is this. I'm also very picky about shredding every single thing with my name on it or anything. Like, every address, I shred everything because I've had problems with identity theft at least 4 times in the past 6 years. And it's a pain, so I shred everything. And I shredded it. As soon as I saw those guys come pick it up, on whatever day they did that extra, when they picked it up and fined me, I said, oh, good. that's done. Shred it. I shred everything. And this, so I came by the next day when I got the notice on the 9th, and I picked this up, and I said, you know, I shredded my card. Could I have a card? I said, because it said in the street. That's exactly what it looked like. So that's my point.
But when you got the card, was that actually circled or not?
Oh, that's exactly what it looked like. It just said in the street, and it didn't say on the curb. If both had been circled, we would have said, oh, well, it just got to come off of both.
I can understand your confusion.
But I'm just not a... I don't break rules to get fined on purpose, and I never would have left it out there on purpose if I thought we were breaking some kind of ordinance. So that's just my point. I don't know if you guys need to discuss anything. You need to contact us today or in the future, but...
I think my intent is to get some direction from this committee. This is the first time that I've brought an item like this forward.
Sure.
I guess I'm looking for some.
And I'd just like to say, after living in this house for about 20 years, I don't really have complaints about the way things are done. I'm not complaining about even the neighbors and all that. I'm just saying that, to me, brush picked up has been kind of random. And I don't want to miss the day that you show up, right? I don't want to put it out there and say, oh, it's the wrong day. Now I'm going to get fined. Or I missed the day. Now I got to drag it back up on the property and hide it behind trees and stuff. And then miss it the day that they do come. You know, I want it to be out there when they come around and pick it up. It's hard to put that stuff in a van if it's tree branches. I mean, we take all of our other yard waste to the site. We do that ourselves. But I don't want to stick tree branches in there if I can avoid it.
So, Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. I'll grab that zip drive if that's okay.
Thanks for taking the time to
come. I just wanted to explain.
We appreciate that.
All right, thank you very much.
We'll hear from you in the future.
So.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Thank you very much for coming. Discussion
with the committee?
I think maybe we go on to item number 5 and we can handle that all with one discussion.
Now, Sean, one of my questions, though, is do you want Mike here for this? Because it sounds like there was a lot of interplay between streets and Mike and in these situations, too. So I want to keep in mind that Mike's not here.
Right.
And also, instead of getting into he said, she said kind of stuff, the reality is there's confusion.
Lots of it.
Among the village on our schedules. And before you get absurd, the village is trying, I guess historically over the last couple of years, people have been throwing stuff out not on schedule, and we're always going around, so they're trying to get more regular. That's a challenge when you're trying to communicate with 5,000 households. Right? And so we put it out on Facebook. We send out emails. Not everyone's on that. We do our All About Alloway magazine. Not everyone reads everything in there. So we have a challenge in helping our residents understand what the whole schedule is. I think that's very clear. And this year is the most confusion because we're having storms.
After storm, we're trying to get on
a more regular basis so our residents can predict when we're coming. So I think if we listen to...
And then we're being more particular, too. We've changed the way that we traditionally have disposed of the brush. We're now hauling it to our farm where we're chipping it. In the past, we were taking it to a quarry where it was dumped. It was used as fill. And, we could pick up piles with some yard waste in it. Now we need to be very particular and when we pick up brush that it is just brush because we use those grindings, those chips.
It sounds like you're addressing me.
No, I'm sorry.
I haven't had a chance to explain my situation.
No, and I look forward to hearing this.
And we use...
What you're saying doesn't apply to me.
Yeah. I'm trying to provide a little background information. Okay. The process has changed a little bit. The way that it's being disposed of, we do now have to be a little bit more picky in what we pick up. It can't be commingled with yard waste. We need clean chips. Those that we hire to come in and grind it, if it's contaminated with yard waste, they won't take that material. And that material that they don't material they take, they use for boiler fuel. And we take some and we use it for mulch at our parks. So, but...
Okay. Good deal. All right, next agenda item, 3275 Chardonnay.
Yeah. Okay, I'm a little disappointed because really Mike was the person that I had my transactions with. Now, I did talk to Sean on the phone, but that was pretty much he said, she said, if you want to get into that. But basically what happened, okay, I live on 3275 Chardonnay, which is a corner lot. Okay, on Hoffman, yeah. So there is, I used to call it the berm, but apparently it's got a different name. The strip that is on the other side of the sidewalk that technically I don't own, but I am required to maintain.
Boulevard.
Thank you. At any rate, at the end of our property, there was a pile of, and I say at the end of our property, I don't know precisely if it was on our side of the line or the next person's side of the line or what, but down, you got our house faces Chardonnay.
Sure.
Okay. And then we have a stockade fence. Okay. And that is on the side where the sidewalk is and the boulevard. Okay.
So you're in the northeast or west corner?
No, I'm on the southwest.
Oh.
No, you'd be northeast corner. Chardonnay and Hoffman.
Oh, yeah.
On
okay.
The intersection.
Okay.
Sorry.
Just trying to figure
correct. Out. Yeah, you're correct. I'm thinking in terms of, yeah.
Okay.
Northeast.
Now we got it.
So, anyways, you have Hoffman coming here, Chardonnay coming here. My house is this one.
Yep.
Okay. And it faces this way. I have an open yard. Then I have a stockade fence where my house is, and that stockade fence runs the length of my property and continues on down through the neighbors, down the sidewalk, actually, all the way down to Calais. Anyway, so somewhere around where the end of my property would have been, there was this pile of sticks. And I don't know, there was some other stuff too. The pile had been growing. Okay. Now, I don't know what the situation was of how it came to be, but I'm speculating because I don't know. I never saw anybody throw it on there. But I'm speculating that there was somehow or other a pile started, and then people said, oh, there's a pile. I can throw my stuff there too. Because it kept growing, and it was growing at a, you know, I mean, it you know, anyways, Mike came to my house before, and on the 26th, so I based on him. Okay, I was pulling out of my yard. He pulled up and said, hey, is that your yard waste out there? And I said, no, it's not. You know, and he said, well, you know, it has to be moved. Because it's a safety hazard and it's an environmental hazard and it has to be moved, you know. And we talked for a while and I said, look, it's not mine. And then I said, come on over to my garden. This is where my yard waste is. This is where my sticks are. Now, I'm sorry, I don't have the circles and arrows and all that, but I do have, that's a pile of sticks that's in my garden on my side of the fence, not on the Hoffman side of the fence. And I took him back there, and I said, those are my sticks. When we clean up the yard, you know, and there are sticks there, we throw them there. And then we have a sandbox in the back. When my kids were young, they used to play it, and then we put, like, a little charcoal bucket fireplace things. And, you know, and so we burned them. But, you know, that's where we collect our sticks, okay? And we had not burned them. But I told Mike, no, those are my sticks. The sticks out there are not mine. He said, okay, well, but they have to be moved. Okay, so we had the end of our conversation. And so when it was done, I figured basically his primary issue, as I gathered, was it's a safety hazard because it was in the bike lane or whatever. And then he mentioned a number of things, you know, that, and then there was an environmental concern and whatever, he rattled off two or three different things. So I figured, okay, look, you know, so the main thing is he was saying it was a safety hazard. So I figured, okay, I'll be a good corporate or LOA citizen, and I asked my daughter to drag the pile of sticks in front of my house, so I'll have a little eyesore until the pickup, which I thought was, you know, later that week. As it turned out, it wasn't brush pickup week that week. And on the day of pickup, when I thought it was going to disappear, instead I found a notice saying that this pile has to be moved within 48 hours or you'll be fined. And then I called to protest. I left messages. I think you were on vacation at that particular time or out of town or something, but I left you voicemails saying that what had happened and that I would be in contact with you. And I contacted, you know, Mike later too, saying that, you know, look, I'm just trying to be a good citizen here and a good neighbor, and you said there was a safety problem and it can't be there, it has to be moved. So now in his thing he says he didn't ask me to move it, but he used the words it has to be moved. Perhaps I misunderstood, and he didn't say you have to move it, but he was talking in terms of it's a safety hazard, it has to be moved. Okay, so I'm just thinking, yeah, it's not mine. I already showed him the sticks to prove to him that it wasn't mine. You know, the ones that I have, why would I have two piles? Okay, and then, anyways, so I was just trying to be a good citizen. I figured I'll put up with the mess on my lawn and stuff, and I put it out in front of mine. Then I got this notice, and then I started to protest, saying it was not my mess. I was just trying to be a good citizen and take care of it for him, because he said it had to be dealt with, and apparently didn't know, you know, whose it was. My suspicion is that, yeah, somehow it got started. I don't know how, but then I don't think it was maybe local people. I think maybe people just kept adding to it, you know, because it was growing at a strange rate. But anyways, so I had her drag, and when she dragged it in front of the house, you know, she was all upset because it was, like, decomposing, and, you know, she had to wear rubber gloves, and, you know, so she got mad at me. But in any event, so I waited, and I couldn't reach anybody to get a disposition on this to fight it. So I said, okay, well, if this is the situation and I'm going to get a fine in 48 hours, you know, they're not my sticks. I'm just trying to absorb the hit. You know, I'll be a good neighbor. So I moved them back to where they were the first place. Okay. And then, you know, I continued the protest because I had moved them because I didn't want to get the fine, and they really weren't mine. Okay, and then I continued to protest. I contacted Sean, and I had contacted Mike. And Mike responded, well, you touched them, so now they're yours. Well, I don't know. It seems kind of like fourth grade kindergarten logic. Oh, you touched it, now it's yours. You know, where I was just trying to do a good thing. He said it needed to be moved, so it was a safety hazard, so I moved. You know, and I didn't want to get hit with it, because it wasn't mine, so I put it back. I would have been happy to leave it there until the proper time and take a bigger hit of having an eyesore in front of my property, but again, this was a you touched it, you lose it, you know, kind of thing. And I don't think that that's fair. Now, I contacted Sean to explain that, and of course, now we're dealing third party, because I'm telling him what Mike told me. I had contacted Mike. And I said, look, Mike, you came out here, I showed you my sticks. Those weren't my sticks. You know, and you're telling me, I'm just trying to do a good thing. You're saying that it's a safety hazard, it has to come out. So I'll absorb the eyesore and put it in front of my house instead of having it in Hoffman where it's dangerous. You know, and then it'll get picked up. Well, at that point, I was thinking it was going to get picked up on pickup day. But apparently, pickup day for brush wasn't that day, and then it was a matter of, well, now it's out here early, so in any event, it all boils down to they weren't my stick. I think I've established, and if Mike were here, I think I could say, look, Mike, you remember, we walked into the backyard, and I pointed out, and I said, these are my sticks. Why would I have another pile of sticks when I'm collecting? Right? Or if those were my sticks, why wouldn't I throw these out there, too? You know, it just doesn't make any sense. In any event, and then he responded with the you touched them so they're yours, you know, sixth grade argument. And I said, well, I'm trying. I'm just trying to be a good, you know, a good citizen here. And, you know, be a good neighbor. And you said there was a problem that had to be moved. Now, he's saying, and the way it looks like when he wrote it here, is that, you know, He didn't tell me to move it. Okay? I don't know. Maybe that's a semantic issue, you know, where, yeah, he said, I heard him say it has to be moved, and I assumed he meant me, you know. But, and I figured, yeah, it's not mine. I showed him. I proved to him, but fine, I'll take the hit. I'll be a good guy. And now I'm being punished for it. And I don't think that's right, because all I did was put them back. Now, he says the pile grew. Okay, now we get into recollection and stuff, and he's not here for me to talk to him and ask him, but the pile didn't grow, because these sticks are still in my yard, in my garden, and you guys can all, you're all welcome to come on over and see them if you want, you know. They haven't been burned yet, you know, but that's what their ultimate disposition is going to be. Okay, so all I'm saying is it wasn't my pile. I tried to do something good and be a good village citizen and got smacked down for it and said, I'm not going to take $200 because of this. So I put it back. And now I'm getting the response of, yeah, but you touched it, so it's yours.
So at this
point, now you're responsible. And I'm saying, okay, that seems like a schoolyard argument. I mean, that really is pretty.
So silly. You've been invoiced $200 at this
yeah.
point?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, when we talked, Gary, you had indicated that your daughter may have put some yard waste, grass clippings on the pile. Not
no,
the
I did not. I never said that. I never said I that because. Said that. No, I never said that. What I said was, we have on that boulevard, there are four trees, which are also not ours, but whatever. And not to mention the fact that the previous year they were supposed to be pruned. I know the people came by to prune them, but they didn't do a very good job. In any event, so sticks fall out of the trees, and I tell her just throw it in the pile, which she does. Now, I asked her, have you ever thrown any sticks in that pile? And she said, well, I might have one, you know, couple that were down at the other end. Only not because she dumped our grass clippings there, because we either mulch it or bag it. And if I had another picture, I have another picture that shows you all the grass clippings on the other side of the garden, okay, from when we collect those. And if we don't, we mulch it. We don't collect them and throw them at the curb. Okay, so if you're saying that you're thinking that I was putting grass clippings in there, that's not the case.
Or yard waste, or I don't
know. Or yard waste, no.
To me,
all I'm saying is, at the very worst, and we had this conversation, it's possible that there's four trees that go on down our property, and I say we have a six-foot fence, and our garden is up at the front of our fence. So when I asked my daughter if she ever threw any sticks there, she said, well, because I always asked her, pick up the sticks, we want it to look nice, okay, and put them in there. And she said, well, I might have the ones that had fallen from the tree. Now, we're not talking about branches that had just been cut or trimmed or broomed. You know, we're talking about sticks, bare sticks that, you know, were accumulated on the not my property. Okay, which, nonetheless, I am collecting in my garden. Okay, but perhaps she threw a couple on there from the last tree because she'd have to walk all the way back down the fence to the garden in order to do it. And there was a pile of sticks right there. So I said to Sean that day, look, it's possible that she may have thrown 5 or 10 sticks out there, but this is a huge pile that was out there, okay? And I don't have a picture of it. I was going to take a picture of it after our conversation, and then 20 minutes after our conversation, the pile mystically disappeared. Now, very suspicious, the timing of that, but I had already told Sean on that particular day that I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go out there and I'll take 20 sticks off that pile and put it in my yard. And that more than covers anything that my daughter could have conceivably thrown on that pile. But the pile is not mine.
Okay. And the reason why it had disappeared was that 48 hours had expired and Mike had contacted Public Works to have him come out and pick up the pile. After our phone call, I did not, and I had told you that on the phone, I didn't call a street department and say, go get that pile now.
Because the reason why that I say that's a problem is because I was just about to go out there and take photos to document the pile and also to take photos of me removing whatever a couple dozen sticks on there and putting them back in my garden so that I could say yes, if any of those were ours, they were reclaimed and put back in our garden. But the majority, vast majority, We're talking about a pile that was, you know, yay high by, you know, well, it was a huge pile. You know, if I said maybe 10 or 12 sticks might have been my daughter, I don't know, I'm just guesstimating. But even if it was 20, and at the end of our conversation, I said, I'll go pick 20 out, and I'll photograph myself doing that, and I'll throw them in my pile, in my garden. And then when I went out there, like a half hour later, it had been picked up.
So the original pile was really kind of towards your property line with your...
I don't even know it was on my property. It was like, but if it was on my property, it was on the far property. Edge.
Adjacent to
another property.
Okay.
Ever had any conversation with that neighbor?
Did I?
Yeah, about the pile. Or say, hey, did you put this out here? How did it get here? You know.
I got a call from her, and she said she got a notice in the mail saying that there was a pile and that she would be fine. And she was asking me if they were mine, because they weren't hers.
Okay.
And I said, they're not mine. I mean, I don't know whose they are. I never saw them put it there, but I do remember seeing the pile growing, you know.
So someone was adding to it.
Yeah.
You know, but now who that person was, I don't have photographs. You know, was it somebody that just saw a pile and said, oh, I can just put mine here? Who knows? But nonetheless, you know, so they weren't hers. They aren't mine. I mean, why would I have multiple piles? I mean, why would I do that? It doesn't even make sense. And when I told Mike, I thought it was pretty clear, because he was kind of giving me the side eye going, yeah, sure, they're not yours. And I said, no, look, really, come on. These are my sticks. Look in my garden. I collect the garden waste. These are my sticks. Those are my grass clippings, you know. And I showed him to him. He said, oh, well, okay. And then after he left, I figured, okay, you know, what the hell, I'll be a good citizen. I'll remove the pile, which is a safety hazard to the bikes or whatever it is, and I'll throw it in front of my house until tomorrow or the day after when it gets picked up. You know, fine, no problem. I'll absorb the eyesore. Okay. But then it turned into more than that, just a couple-day eyesore. And had it been that I was wrong and that wasn't the pickup for sticks, I would have been okay with absorbing the eyesore for whatever week was the proper week, you know, to be a good citizen. But I wasn't in any way, shape, or form trying to accept a $200 fine for being a good citizen and collecting sticks that weren't mine because they were a safety hazard in Huff. And I really, really have a problem with this. And I also have a problem with the fact that Mike is not here, because if he were here, we could go through the elements of this conversation and it would be a lot clearer that, hey, did we in fact go to my fence? Did I in fact point to those sticks? Did I in fact show you that these were my yard sticks? Okay? And, you know, and so it was pretty clear. I thought after that conversation, I had clearly documented and proven that the pile wasn't mine. So now it turns into, okay, but I'm going to be a good guy, because it's blocking the bike path in Hoffman. I'm going to move it in front of my house, so I'll put up with the eyesore. Okay. Well, yeah, but I wasn't doing that as saying I'll put up with a $200 fine, you know, or I'll go out and rent a truck so that I can move it. I was just figuring I'll be a good citizen and keep bikes from whatever the problem was with the safety issue. Okay. So, now, it's true. I touched those sticks. I fully acknowledge that I touched those sticks. In moving those sticks that were not mine from Hoffman to in front of my house, I touched them. But I think that's a pretty sad criteria. You touched it, therefore they're yours. I think that's pretty infantile.
7/8 or 9/10 of the law, whatever.
Thank you very much for coming. You got more questions?
No. Not really. Okay.
I really would like a chance to
talk with Mike.
Or at least question him in front of you, because I really think it was pretty clear. I mean, he would be just bold-faced lying if he said, I did not show him this pile. We did not walk back into my garden.
I would doubt that he would do that. I mean, I certainly accept your word that you showed him and he acknowledged it, but he still had a problem. You know, because he's the enforcement officer, so he's got this pile and he's got to do something.
Yeah, okay, so he's got to blame it on somebody, but nonetheless.
Well, I didn't say that. I said he's got a problem, you know, to deal with, so, you know, yeah. And Sean is starting to explain earlier the big picture, you know, the bulk, the rush, the
storms, the
all that stuff, so.
Yeah, as a village, we're trying to figure out how to deal with these things the right way, and we're learning. It's surely not perfect, and I would agree with you. Touching sticks does not make them yours.
Like somebody has a heart attack, and they fall in front of you, and you try and do CPR to help them, and they die anyways.
Yeah.
And now they're going to sue you because they died because the CPR didn't work?
Yeah.
You were trying to be a good citizen?
Actually, some people would.
Well, yeah, does that make it right?
Yeah, no.
All right.
Is our mood to... I'll let you go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, let's pick up the rules again, and then we put 4 and 5 together, so any motions on the table or further discussion between the committee?
My recommendation, and I thank you very much for coming.
Yes.
I'm actually glad Mike's not here, because we got to hear your side, and I don't know, I mean, some of it's different, but his job's to figure out how to...
So when I let me add one little thing to his.
Sure.
Okay, he said on here, I hung up on him angrily.
Yeah.
Yes, I was a little upset about it, so it was a heated conversation.
Yeah.
But basically, I was just explaining why it made no sense for me to be fined by this. And after talking it through, his response was, you're wasting the taxpayers' money by keeping this conversation going.
That's what you said, or he said?
No, that's what he said to me.
Okay.
He said, you're just wasting the taxpayers. You know, in other words, I'm deaf to you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I hung up on him when he said that. So it's true. I hung up on him. But I was pretty... Anyways, those are the facts. It's unfortunate that he's not here to be questioned and try and... Try and say that this was not here. You guys are welcome to come to my house and see the same pile still in my garden. And if it were that I were trying to abuse the system by putting my sticks out on Hoffman, why didn't I put those there too? Does it make any sense? Does it not make more sense that I was just trying to be a nice guy and take care of a problem that was presented to me? Yes, I touched the sticks.
Yeah, my recommendation is that you have to sit down with Mike, walk through what you heard. If these sticks weren't yours, and if Mike agreed to that, I mean, if he understood that, those sticks never became his, even if he moved them, in my opinion. This body doesn't make any... We're not an authoritative body. We make recommendations. But as I think the village tries to do on a regular basis when we face these things, we try to do a reasonability test. Okay? Someone put sticks there. Is it reasonable for him to think that it's one of the property owners?
Yeah.
Is it reasonable for you to say they're not? If they're not? Yeah. It's a quandary. The main thing is we just want those goofy things gone. And
I agree. And if they were my sticks, I'd say, okay,
I'll sit down with Mike when he gets back from vacation. We're trying to be consistent. We're trying to be fair to everyone. I talked to Michelle before she left tonight, and she was the one that had sent you the invoice for the removal of the brush. And I had her do a quick count of how many people have been invoiced this summer for brush or yard waste. And we quickly ran through the list, and there are about 12 people that have been invoiced. Some have already paid the fee. But we're going through a little bit of a learning curve here, but we're trying to be fair and consistent to everyone. But I'd be more than happy to sit down with Mike and go through what we had just heard from you.
Go ahead.
And go from there.
I would just add to that. I find it hard to believe that out of these 12 cases that anybody is being hit with the "you touched it, it's yours" accusation.
I would guess that's even.
But I mean, it's possible. It's possible. And if you can show me 11 other situations like that, then I'll be really upset.
I'll
bring
that up. Yeah.
But, you know.
Gary, I think you have a unique case.
Yeah, I think I do.
I do.
I'm just trying to be a good citizen. I mean, the only reason why I have her collect the sticks in the first place is because it's ugly. Yeah, it's not mine. Yeah, I have to cut the lawn. I could just have her run over the sticks and mulch them, you know, and now it would be all full of chunks of sticks. But we collect them because it's ugly. Not to mention the fact that I've been reseeding that berm, which is not mine. I've been trying to kill the weeds in it. It's not mine. I'm trying to make it look good. They make the neighborhood look good. I'm trying to be a good citizen.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling like I'm getting smacked down for it. And I don't think that's fair.
Well, and I also think it's reasonable to think that on Hoffman, if we're having storms and if the branches fall onto Hoffman, people in cars and bikes may actually stop, pick them up, and throw them on the side.
It's possible, yeah.
Right? So I think that's and if they see a pile growing, if they see more sticks after another rainstorm or windstorm, they may throw more on it. I think that's reasonable to expect.
I don't know. But, I mean, I can swear to you, while it is entirely possible that out of, say, 500 sticks and whatever was there, perhaps maybe a half a dozen of them my daughter threw there by mistake. But no, the pile is not mine. No, the sticks and the mulch and the stuff, it's decaying. And, you know, I had to get a tarp out there and shovel it onto it to drag it back there. There were pop cans in there. There was all sorts of, you know. Clearly, I have garbage. I don't need to throw my pop cans out there, you know. So,
yep.
Granted, you're right. Maybe people were passing by saying, "Oh, there's a garbage pile. I'll just avail myself of it." No, we don't have a camera on it. But, again, I just tried to do the right thing, and now I'm getting beat up for it. That's all I'm saying. I'm trying to be a good citizen, not a bad citizen.
Well, thank you for coming.
Yeah, thanks for taking time from here Wednesday night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You'll get back to Gary then.
I will, when Mike gets back. I'll sit down with him, then I'll give you a call back.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
Gary,
you, Gary. Nice
what is
you.
Your phone number, just in case?
920-339-0070.
One more time, just to make sure.
339-0070.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Appreciate your attention, and I'm sorry that there was a problem, but the problem wasn't mine.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
Any recommendations regarding Gwynn Street?
That was the $50?
That was the $50, the first gentleman.
Well, a lot of it is the confusion of brush, bolts, garden waste, dates of pickup, and all the rest. And yet Mike, being the enforcement officer, needs direction on how he's supposed to deal with it, but it's like trying to hit a moving target. You know, there was certainly no ill intent in either of the situations, I'm sure.
Exactly.
You know, so I don't, you know, could we be just good stewards and waive the fee at this point? He took the time and effort to explain it all.
And if what he stated, which I assume is true, what he's stating that the card that he received had the in the street circled.
Yes.
I would take that as, oh, it's in the street. I better put it up out of the street onto my yard where it's supposed to go for pickup at a later date, as opposed to if at the curb, not in the curb or on the curb, but at the curb was circled. No, that means, well, wait, it's at the curb on my property, but it's not supposed to be at the curb. I better get rid of it entirely. That's the way I would read this notice. And he said that in the street was circled, and we shredded it. I would take that the same way. Oh, that's right, I can't have it in the street. I better put it on my yard, and that way I pick it up. I don't think either one of these individuals are trying to pull it over on the village or be lazy or anything like that. And in my opinion, I don't think it's a flagrant violation for whatever that's worth.
I would agree. I think... when he said that was circled and I saw it, I'd probably do the same. So?
I agree with that. We can make this a little bit clearer.
Yeah, because he seems, obviously with his chart and everything else, pretty well organized. I think he would follow directions very well. It wasn't like, you know.
Sean, do you need a motion from us, or can you just take care of this?
I think we can give him direction.
Provide direction, and I'll take care of it.
So I'll take yours as a motion.
So moved.
Okay,
second.
Awesome. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Can I ask what the motion was?
Oh, the Gwen was a misunderstanding.
Okay.
And the other one we'll just deal with it after Mike gets back, and then we'll get back to the property owner.
I think it's clear that it wasn't his pile.
Yeah.
He had admitted that he put some twigs on it, but.
On Hoffman's its own issue.
And it sounded like it was a community pile that everybody was throwing bulk or brush and yard mess.
You look at a satellite picture of his yard, it's a well manicured, well cared for yard, a well cared for area. I'd be really surprised if this is a guy that leaves a bunch of stuff just lying around or a pile like that.
You never know.
I do the same thing that he described.
Yep.
And I would hope that we can take him at his word that is indeed what happened.
I'm guessing neither one of these property owners we've had any other issues with.
No.
They seem to have been long-term residents.
Okay, so moving on to item number 6.
So it's the same thing then?
Pending discussion with Mike, but
Yeah.
Maybe we even send the second one a letter saying, hey, thanks for taking the extra step to keep Elway looking this, or no, it wasn't your stuff. Sorry for the inconvenience. Thanks for playing your part in keeping this village looking right.
I can definitely do that. Oh.
And you're looking at the card, too.
Yeah, we need to revisit that card. Yeah. Could be worded a little bit clearer.
But it's just in the street. Well, if they didn't circle bulk or leaves or garden waste or brush or grass clippings, it's just in the street that it's in here. I would think they'd circle one of those and one of the other things. But again, if it's...
Yeah, another violation would be putting it out at a time when there's no pickup. So at the wrong time.
Right, so that bulk waste,
the wrong time.
But again, that would just be, let's say somebody put a bunch of those broken down chairs and it was 2 weeks before bulk pickup. I would think they get a notice that has bulk circled and at the curb circled. Your bulk is at the curb, please remove it.
And they throw it in the street?
Yeah.
Crap.
No. All right.
Is there a vote?
That was just a recommendation.
Okay.
And then Sean's going to dispatch with that after Sean and Mike and...
I'll sit down with Mike.
Yeah, since Mike's not here.
Down in the weeds, but I got to say, one of the things that really loves me, things that I love about Elway, but the fact that we have this added benefit of bulk and leaf pickup, we have 5,000 homes, roughly?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do we make up a flyer that just... makes this kind of clear day, maybe has one or two pictures, you know, with a big X through the picture that's not allowed, and, you know, a circle on one that is appropriate, the way it's stacked and everything else. Send out to every resident, you know, forget about the emails or the FaceTime or the Facebook or anything like that. Is that worth the 5,000 sheets of paper and the black and white copies that we'd need to make?
I know, President Rafter, you had suggested that too. I think that we talked about it internally, and we're definitely going to, in the All About Alloway magazine, provide that. It was the cost that I think was the hang-up with, you know, sending out a separate pamphlet with that information. And Debbie's doing a great job of updating our website, putting information on our website, and Facebook posts and email blasts. And we were going to address that. Through All About Alloway magazine, but if we continue to find that we're having an issue, then we may need to go that route.
And that's what you guys can answer. You've been doing this obviously a long time, so it's just, you know, where do you want to spend the time? discussions like this, which took an hour for two people.
Please know this is a first. And
is, oh, is it? Okay.
And yes, this is question. Not
How
your normal.
This stuff
yes.
happening because no, an hour of everybody's time here.
No, this is
it's not cheap either. Right. So.
This is not normal at all for our meetings.
Oh, okay.
So.
Normally there's five or six people combining?
No. You've got your first very interesting meeting.
Okay.
That out of the way, at least.
Okay.
All right. Standpipe repair engineering contract.
So in 2015, we had hired a firm to go and inspect this, the water tower standpipe off of Webster Avenue.
So that's the water tower.
The water tower at 20, I don't know the exact address, but on the north side of Webster Avenue. They had done an inspection, and we do this every 5 years. It's a mandate that every 5 years we go in and inspect our reservoirs. When they went in and completed the inspection in 2015, they had noted some structural damage, and they had noted repair was needed to the interior coating. Some of the most noteworthy repairs, structural repairs, due to ice damage, the overflow weir box was shoved up and it was disconnected. I do have some pictures. Do you guys want to see some pictures?
I will.
That would
All
help.
Right.
I was, just as an aside, I was getting nervous with this fire stick. If you kept scrolling through, who knows what kind of pictures we would have. Thank you for stopping. You never know, right? I was going to be careful.
Oops. That actually is a view from the top of the tower, but... Here's the weir box. I wish I could blow up this picture, but I can't. Overflow weir box. Due to the ice that we had gotten, I believe it was 2015, it had shoved this up and disconnected the pipe that runs to the outside that flows down the tower and out. And I've got another picture of that, but this needs to be repaired. Another... issue that we had. Here's another picture. Here's the overflow weir box. The box was pushed up and was disconnected from the pipe that goes to the outside of the water tower. We have some of this inside the tank as well. A well that needs to be addressed. They need to grind that, and then they need to resurface that with paint. Some pitting that needs to be filled in and repainted. And this is on the interior of the tank. Another picture of a weld. So that overflow weir, in the event that for whatever reason, the pump wouldn't shut off and the water reached a certain height, it wouldn't blow the top of the tank off. It would go in that overflow weir. It would run down the outside of the water tower, and then it would it from this point at. And I don't honestly know where it drains. It's clear water. It may go in our storm sewer. But this we found that this isn't compliant with the DNR, that there needs to be an air gap in there. So this will have to get corrected when we make the repairs in 2020.
Does the air gap produce a chance of backflow?
Yes.
Into the
yes.
water supply?
Okay. Yep.
Is that drain into the Heritage Hill parking lot, maybe?
You don't have to look. There. We do have the plans. I would think that would go into our storm sewer.
Okay.
But I'd have to check on that.
So this is the one at Heritage Hill?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yep. It would be southeast of
South
Heritage Hill.
Yeah.
Yep. On the exterior of the tank, the report had noted that to be in compliance with the DNR requirements, that three new manways were required. We had to install fall protection around the outside of the tank, and as indicated before, we'd have to upgrade and provide an air gap in this overflow pipe. I don't know if, but I had another picture. When that ice had built up, it also had on the inside of the tank. There's a painter's rail, and in places they shoved that up and. There were welds that held that in place, and those welds were broken. So,
because freezing isn't a normal thing.
No,
like that year it did. For
it did, and we had because of that. Then shortly after, we had installed a mixer. Now we mix that water and help reduce that from forming ice again. So.
How old's the tower?
Oh, well, that's
roughly.
Give me a minute, I can look it up.
70s.
I think, I mean, you may be right.
And we've had inspections every 5 years.
Every 5 years.
This is the first time that we've had anything?
No, we do maintenance on a regular basis. Yeah.
Okay. I'm surprised by this, I guess, is what I'm getting at. Is anybody surprised by these findings? Or is this almost expected in a town of that age every 5 years to have things like this happen?
I think what we're seeing is that the normal wear, the ice damage is something out of the ordinary. But you're going to have to, on a regular basis, you're going to have to go in and recoat the exterior and interior of the tank. DNR regulations change frequently, and because of that, when we have these inspections completed, at the end we have to fill out a form and check boxes and the man ways, I believe that is a DNR thing, that we need to provide a couple more man ways. Year that it was built. Don't have the proposal. 1968. The last recoat was completed in 2005. So we estimate that the repairs will cost between $115,000 and $150,000. That cost does not include engineering or inspection fees. This project will be competitively bid. Our hope would be to bid it out end of this year, early next year, when contractors are looking for work. The work would get completed in 2020, and that would coincide with our next 5-year inspection. So when we're in the tank and in order to do the repair, we're going to have to draw it down. When we're in there and doing our final inspection of the completed work, we'll be completing that 5-year inspection as well. Kind of kill two birds with one stone. I had called some neighboring public works directors to get a list of consultants that are capable of putting together the design, the plans, the specs to assist with the bidding and the inspection and reporting. And they gave me a handful of consultants. I put together an RFP, and we've got proposals back from three firms, Mike Mollick, Water Foreman, myself. We reviewed them, and we've selected Strand Associates. The cost of their engineering services is estimated at $34,000. And again, that work would include the design, the bidding, the inspection, and then the reporting, the DNR reporting.
That's on top of the $115,000 to $150,000.
Yes. Yeah.
How was Strand's price?
They were in the middle. They were in the middle. Mm-hmm. And I have a breakout of the cost of the.
And that means they take the liability of the warranty for it as well for that part? They stand by that?
The contractor will have to. I don't know if it's a 1 or 2 year warranty. I'm not thinking that it would be a 1 year warranty for the work. It's fairly standard. I guess I'm looking for a motion from this committee for a recommendation to the village board to move forward with Strand's engineering contract.
And with the cost associated with that? To allocate and a recommend allocation of X dollars for engineering and all that? Or do we not?
We don't need to do that. The cost for the engineering, the inspection, we had previously budgeted for that. So
repairs will come in next year's budget.
What's that?
The repairs will come in next year's budget.
2020 budget? Or 2021?
We had them in this year's budget. I guess that's a good question. We had it budgeted for this year. My hope would be to get Strand under contract within a few weeks to get started with the design, and then we would, if necessary, we could bid this early in December, if not sooner, to have a contract signed with the contractor to complete the work by a certain date, 2020. Okay. I'll have to look into the
budget.
And why did you choose Strand?
they put together a good proposal. I had sent out the inspection report from 2015, and in their proposal they identified everything that needed to get done, and they did their homework. They knew when the tank was constructed, when it was last coated. I was impressed. They took the time to put together a really good proposal.
Can they come recommended?
Yes. Strongly recommended by a contractor that does this work. Yeah.
Well, I'll make that motion that we proceed with the contract with Strand to begin the process there. Engineering contract for the standpipe.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, number 7, water leak detection project.
So on a yearly basis, we complete a leak detection survey of the water main, our entire water main system. This year, Utility Service Associates had performed the leak detection survey. They completed the work in June. They identify the leaks through a two-step process. They go out and do a survey, and they go out and they listen to the water main, and they typically, depending on the size of the material, it's every 400 to 600 feet, they listen to the water main. They listen for they listen for noises that wouldn't be conducive of flowing water. Mm. And from that, they can identify potential leaks. And then the next step of the process is to come in and pinpoint those leaks. They actually go to that area and they listen to the services in the water main hydrants and identify whether or not that leak that was identified during the survey is an actual leak. And in that process of pinpointing, they had discovered 15 leaks, 8 on the public side. There's a breakout, and then 6 on the private side, and then 1 that they called undefined. They had, during the survey phase, they had found a potential leak, but they weren't successful with trying to pinpoint it. It's on Blackhawk. We're going to be reconstructing a portion of Blackhawk. Unfortunately, we'll continue to monitor that. We just don't know if it's an actual leak, so we're just going to continue to monitor the situation. But altogether, they can estimate, roughly speaking, the water loss due to with the pipe size known and pressure, they can estimate how much water we're losing through these leaks, and they have estimated that if they're unaddressed, that potentially the village could lose 10 million gallons of water, and that's again just an estimate. And we have already started to address the leaks. Mike Mollick is working with a local contractor to go out and make the repairs. As simple as, and we took care of this in-house, was a loose nut on a hydrant. We were able to go and tighten it and eliminate a leak. So we're out there, we're actively pursuing these to eliminate these leaks, because it's lost water, it's lost revenue.
Cost everybody.
Potential damage.
And damage, undermined. Mm-hmm. Yeah, big enough.
So they did the whole village.
They did the whole village. Yeah.
And we have a total of 8 leaks.
15. 14. One's undefined.
Basically half private, half public.
Okay. Yep, roughly. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. But until it gets to the meter, it's your water.
It's our water, right? Yep. So even on the private side, that's between the curb and the meter in the home, it still lost water. The consultant had identified addresses, and we are working with those property owners to have them repair their water service.
So leading up to the house, there's a leak. It's on that property, it's their responsibility?
If it's between the curb box, yes. If it's between, roughly speaking, the right-of-way line and the home, it's private, considered private, and their responsibility.
Got it.
Yeah, 356, they did a 356 on the court sign here, and they did change out there, I know. Both at the curb and then the homeowner also, I think, put an holy water line there.
Does the homeowner have the option to say, no, not going to fix it? Never noticed it? Because technically, would they still be charged for that leaking water? Because it's before it hits the meter, right?
You know, that I'd have to look at the code. I think if there's a known leak between the curb stop and their home or their meter, I think it would be their responsibility to repair. But I don't know for sure. I'd have to look at the code. We have contacted everybody that could potentially have a private side leak, and got a list here. I have to get an update from Mike, but a lot of them are working with us. So.
Cool. So, have you ever done this before, or is this the first time we've done it with this of this nature?
We do it on a yearly basis.
Oh, every year?
Every year,
the same
yeah.
Way. Okay.
Yep.
Over the last several years, we've repaired a lot of leaks.
Yeah. Is this an average year, then? Is this, you know?
I would say so. Yeah.
Okay.
You're never going to have a watertight system. It's good to have them pinpointed so that we can go out there and dig in the right location and get it fixed.
So when do you expect to do that work?
Well, we've already started. Okay. Yeah. We've probably, just off the top of my head, we've probably tackled over half of them already.
Great.
Mike Mollica is doing a good job of being extremely proactive and getting these addressed and taken care of.
Good stuff. Do copper water pipes decompose? Do they break down?
Our soils are corrosive. I'm sure that they do. Yeah.
St. Joseph Street sidewalk at Riverside Drive.
Yeah, I've got a picture of that too. I'm sure a lot of you have been on St. Joseph Street lately. A lot of the work has been completed. We're in the process of completing the topsoil, and just recently the top layer of asphalt was placed. We will be marking and signing the roadway soon. I'm sure a lot of people are questioning why did we end the sidewalk just short of Riverside Drive. Well, we did that for two reasons. We had reviewed that with the consultant that helped us put together the plans, and we had also, I don't know if we had reached out to the DOT, but I had a conversation with the consultant. But the reason why we ended the sidewalk short of Riverside Drive was, one, for safety reasons, and two, to avoid putting a walk in curb ramps, and then at a later date, when a trail connection is known, having to remove them because it doesn't fit or align with the new connection. We definitely don't want to extend sidewalk to Riverside Drive when we don't currently have a safe crossing and we don't have walk on the other side. So we are actively pursuing options, and we'll continue to work on that. But I would hope within 3 to 4 years we have a connection, and at that point, as part of that project, we'll extend these walks to Riverside Drive. We'll build the appropriate curb ramp, and we'll build a properly signed, marked, and safe crosswalk across Riverside Drive.
Pretty good.
Nope, good stuff. And you removed some of the sidewalk on the...
We did, yeah, we did. Yeah. And in the terrace, the boulevard has been graded such that we can come in and remove the topsoil and extend it through.
It is all prepped.
It is prepped. It's ready to go. Yeah.
All right.
I want to give a quick update on the street reconstruct project. I want to start with Longview Avenue. Northeast Asphalt was there today. They were doing the fine grading of the base, curb and gutter, sidewalk, driveway aprons have been poured. I would hope that by the end of the week, the first layer of asphalt was placed on Longview. On Oakwood Avenue, we're still working on the utilities. Right now, we're installing water main and storm sewer between Green and Mission. There is a second crew out there. They're working on Oak Hill, and they're currently installing sanitary sewer. And I was told by Northeast Asphalt today that they're looking to pulverize, mill the Summit Street pavement so that they can start the utility work on that project. Martha Avenue, contractor has come in and cut the roadway to subgrade. Base has been placed, and we anticipate curb and gutter to be poured possibly by the end of this week, early next week. When Longview is paved, the thought is that Northeast will go from Longview then right over to Martha, and we're only talking about 70 feet down there. St. Joseph Street was provided an update, but again, just recently the final layer of asphalt was placed. There's some touch-up with the landscaping. Contractor needs to come back to take care of that. And I would think in the near future we'll get marked and signed.
Are you planning to do any tree plantings along there?
I believe Chris has planned to do that, and that would take place, I believe, next spring. Okay. But I'd have to verify that.
Then the last apartment building is coming along. Windows are in. Well, some windows are in. So the one facing Riverside. Completion.
I could provide an update on Blackhawk Drive. We had hired a consultant to assist with the drafting of plans. The plans are near completion. Our hope would be, I've put together an estimate. The hope would be to work with one of the contractors already in the village. At this point, to try to advertise a project now and try to get it built yet this year would be a challenge. There'd be no guarantee that we'd get better pricing. The contractors are busy, and I have reached out to Todd Dorner, and they'll be adding another crew in October. And he had indicated that they were very interested, and it'd be just down the street from them. So continue to work with. That would be to work with one of the existing contractors already in the village.
And that's where we had a sewer
major,
water failure or collapse, right?
Or major washout. Water main break.
Yeah.
Water main break. Ended up, because of the frost on the roadway, the water had come through the surface. It actually flowed underneath the roadway, parallel to the roadway. It found an old block sanitary manhole, blew a hole through that. Filled that manhole and that sanitary sewer downstream with mud and sand, and it wrecked the roadway.
Wow. Yeah. The ice this year was amazing.
So every other year we have a major reconstruction project. Mm-hmm. At least that's the schedule we started. Every year we spend $500,000 or approximately $500,000 in street maintenance. And then every other year we have a large... This year was what, a $5 million bond?
Yeah, all together about $5 million. Yep. I can give a quick. I forgot about this. Thank you. We do have a street repair project that has started in addition to the reconstruct. It's a maintenance project. It includes three streets, Warren Court from Ducharme to Riverside Drive, Woodrow and Brookridge Street from Dauphin to Libel Street, and Beaupre from Webster Avenue to Libel. Their focus right now is Woodrow and Brookridge Street because school is going to start on the day after Labor Day. We have met with the school district and the fire department. We were afraid that we wouldn't get the work done in time before school started. And in the event that it didn't, we wanted to come up with a plan. We have one, but we're hopeful yet that we get all the work done. They're on Brookers and Woodrow right now. We have replaced a number of inlets that were defective. Martel will come in end of this week, early next week, and remove defective curb and gutter. Mm. When that is done, then the key free will come in and remove the pavement. American will come in and fine grade and pave.
So that's a mill and pave.
On that particular project, that's a full pavement replacement. We come in and remove the asphalt pavement. And then generally speaking, the asphalt thickness is about 4 inches. But in that particular case, we're going to come in and remove the asphalt and repave with 4 new inches of asphalt. On Beaupré, because it's a newer roadway, so to speak, constructed in, I think it was the early 2000s.
The curbs and everything are already okay.
Spot treatment of curb and gutter, and in that particular case, we're going to mill and overlay. We're going to come in and mill a couple inches and put 2 inches back down. On Warren Court, that is a what I would call a full pavement replacement, a full reclaim. You've got to reconstruct. We had come in last year to remove cast iron water main, which was an issue. We had numerous water main breaks in that segment of roadway because we had come in and removed and replaced the water main, and in the process disturbed a lot of the roadway. We're coming in and we're going to reconstruct that and remove all the curb and gutter, the pavement. We're going to go right down. We're going to grade down to subgrade, put down new base, put down new curb and gutter, match in at the driveways, and then 4 inches of asphalt and landscaping.
So every year, did I hear that right? About $500,000 is
street maintenance, yep.
And then every other year, on top of that $500,000, there's a
reconstruct
several million-dollar project,
yep,
to reconstruct other streets. Or
yep. Yep.
Okay. So this is obviously a year of
both
the major, and then next year is kind of
a repave.
Yeah. A repave, and then the year after that is another major. Okay. Interesting. Thank you.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in
favor. I'll give that to Ted. Aye.
Thank you all, and thanks.